Reminded him that that was his duty, and he said, I have to preach. And then God, in the midst of these many rebukes and warnings about their captivity, upcoming captivity, we've seen some beautiful nuggets, especially last week about God's Word and its power. And then we move over to chapter 25, and what we find is what I've shared before, and that is how God even uses the world and the unsaved to deal with his own people, but then when it's finished, then he deals with them for dealing with his people, which is quite fascinating, like he did with Pharaoh. But he shares with us here in chapter 25 about how he did it with Nebuchadnezzar. Notice verse 7, it says, yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. So God is telling them in advance, you're going to go into captivity, it's going to last for 70 years, and I'm going to use my servant Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile heathen king, to accomplish my will in chastising my people. And when the 70 years are finished, of course, that's when the time of Ezra and Nehemiah happened and they came back and began to rebuild Jerusalem. Then I'm going to punish Nebuchadnezzar for punishing my people. It's fascinating how God does that. And so after all of these warnings, then in chapter 26, what happened? Verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. It's, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I've set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I've sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. And we'll carry on after we pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our hearts tonight to teach us and to grow us. And Lord, to do a work in our lives, we thank you for your word and the power of it. And for this beautiful book of Jeremiah, Lord, may we just continue to learn from it. Meet with us now. May you be glorified in this service. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, God commanded Jeremiah to prophesy that Israel is about to be attacked and taken away captive. As we see, it's going to last for 70 years. And after being told by God to specifically go to the house of the Lord where the people were gathering, after he gave the prophecy, notice verse 7, the priests and the prophets and all the people, so everyone, the religious leaders, the priests, the prophets, false prophets, of course, and the people, all the people heard this. And it came to pass, verse 8, that when Jeremiah made an end, that the priests, the prophets, and all the people, so the entire crowd that heard these prophecies from Jeremiah said, thou shalt surely die. In other words, we don't like what you're saying and we're going to kill you. We don't like your message. Well, he's just the messenger. Amen? And remember, when you go out and you speak to people and you share the gospel with them, sometimes they get angry. Because you're saying to them that there's only one way to heaven, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And that goes very contrary to what the world teaches, isn't it? That there's multiple ways to heaven, that God loves everybody and everything's all good. And we come along and say, no, God loved you so much that he became a man and died in your place and rose again. And it's only through what he did on the cross that you can find heaven. People see that from a worldly perspective as very closed-minded, very whatever word you want to use. But it's not all-encompassing, is it? It's saying that, sure enough, what Jesus prophesied, and that is that wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to unto everlasting life, and few there be that find it. That it is a narrow way to heaven. When people hear this, sometimes they get angry. But are they getting angry at you, or are they getting angry at the message? You see, they were angry at his message, but people often then will take it out on the messenger. And that's what kept happening to the prophets. And as God said, how many times did Israel kill God's prophets? For what? Speaking the truth. For sharing what God wanted them to share. And so they killed the messenger because they didn't like the message. And remember what God told Jeremiah. Go back to chapter 1, right at the beginning when God called him. I want us to be reminded of what God said up front. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. When we share the gospel with the lost, God is there right there beside us. Technically, he's sharing it with them through us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are God's ambassadors. And it goes on to say, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God, in 2 Corinthians 5:20. In other words, whenever we open our mouth to preach the gospel of the lost, if we're doing it in the Spirit, it's actually God witnessing to that person. We're just the vessel. God is the one that's trying to reach that heart through the gospel message. We're just the mouthpiece. And so God told Jeremiah at the beginning, before he even became a prophet, don't be afraid. And what I'm excited about in this chapter is we see Jeremiah believing that truth, as you'll see as we work through the passage. I will be with you, God said. Don't be afraid of their faces. I know that they're going to resist. Well, if you go to Ezekiel 2, God told Ezekiel the same thing, because guess what? Ezekiel's message was rejected as well. And Ezekiel's message happened pretty much after the captivity, and the people didn't like what he had to say either. Notice here in Ezekiel chapter 2, down in verse 4, he hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury. Oh, this is Lamentations. No wonder it didn't sound right. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4. For they are an impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, parentheses, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So he even told Ezekiel up front, they're not going to listen, but they have to hear it anyway. And I believe it's God's will that every human being have at least an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then they have a decision to make to accept or reject Christ as their Savior. But they should have an opportunity to at least hear. And God gave Israel an opportunity to hear his words, his truth, his warnings. They, for the most part, rejected those warnings, rejected God's commands, but they still, therefore, had no excuse. And when a person hears the gospel and they reject Christ, they have no excuse. Jesus said in John 12:48, he that heareth my word and rejecteth me hath one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There in John 12:48. So back to our passage, the Bible says in verse 9 of Jeremiah 26, "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord." Can you imagine, put it in modern day context, I'm standing up here preaching, that the building was full, and I preached, and people hated it so much that the entire congregation got up and said, "That's it." And they started heading for the stage and said, "We're taking you down. We're going to kill you because we don't like what you're saying." That's what Jeremiah faced. The entire, everybody who was at the house of the Lord said, "We're going to kill you." And I love his answer. Well, not yet. Verse 11. "Then spake the priest and the prophet, son of the princes, and all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die. For he hath prophesied against the city, as ye have heard with your ears." So, they've made their decision. Jeremiah is going to die for prophesying in the name of the Lord, saying that God is going to allow Jerusalem to be raised and for God's people to be taken captive. They don't like what they heard. And so they're going to kill the messenger. When we share the gospel, the response is up to the people, isn't it? We have fulfilled our obligation, but sometimes the response is negative. We can't control that, can we? All we can do is trust God. Let's give you a couple of examples real quick. Look at John chapter 8. We'll look at an example from the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How openly did the people accept the message of Jesus Christ? Well, ultimately they nailed him to a cross. Did they not? Notice John 8:40. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham." This is Jesus speaking to the crowd saying, now you want to kill me for telling you the truth. Let's go to Acts 5, and we'll see an example from Peter's life. Acts chapter 5, verse 33. After Peter preached, of course he had others with him, it says, Acts 5:33, "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." So they heard what Peter had to say and decided he needed to die. Acts chapter 7. Verse 54, this is Stephen, one of the first deacons. Verse says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't even know what that means, honestly. But then they ultimately stoned him to death. For what? Telling them the truth. Then Acts 22, Apostle Paul, Acts 22, 22. Bible says, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." And we know the story. If the centurion had not interceded, the people would have basically pulled Paul apart right there on the steps. But thankfully the centurion, well, God had it all planned out, but the centurion interceded and snatched Paul away, and then he got to go to Rome and start a church in Rome. Anybody ever read the book of Romans? So here we have these people saying, "Thou art worthy to die. We're going to kill you." And so let's look at Jeremiah's response here in Jeremiah 26, verse 12. "Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you've heard. Now therefore," I'm sorry for what I said, so don't kill me. Is that what he says? No. "Amend your ways and your doings." Now that took some guts, did it not? The entire crowd is standing there saying, "We're going to kill you for telling us what God said, that God's going to destroy our city. We don't want to hear that message. What are you going to do about it?" And he says, "Amend your ways and your doings." He's not going to back down. This is a man that's standing with the Lord. Amen? and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, look at this. Behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Now that's called trust. Amen. If you want to kill me, then kill me. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. And the disciples, they had the same attitude. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. They were threatened with death many times. For what? Preaching the truth. Notice Acts chapter 4, look down at verse 29. The Bible says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." So they literally threatened them with death, and their response wasn't to say, "Uh-oh, we better stop." Their response was to say, "Lord, just give us boldness." They threatened us with literally death. Just give us boldness. And look at chapter 5 now, one chapter over, verse 41. Verse 40, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, this was a proper beating, okay? They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'd call that being close to God. Thank you, Lord, that you counted us worthy to take a beating for you. That was their attitude. And that's Jeremiah's attitude. He says, "I'm just going to tell you the truth. God told me to, and I have to. If you're going to kill me for it, I'm just going to go spend it forever with the Lord." And that's what the disciples said. If you're going to kill us, then kill us, but we're just going to keep telling people the truth. And if you kill us, we'll just go to heaven. And we might think that would never come to that in this country, but we didn't think that what happened this week would happen either, did we? So we don't know what's ahead. If the Lord tarries for the next 5 years or whatever, we don't know what's coming. But who's to say that we don't have laws come out saying it's against the law to preach the gospel? Say, "Oh, that would never happen." Really? It's happened in a lot of countries. Would we therefore stop preaching the gospel? Well, some Christians don't anyway, but for the Christians who do you stop? If God says it's against, if the government says it's against the law to preach, do we stop preaching? We can't. As the disciples says, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. We have to. God told us to. We have to tell you the truth. Jeremiah said, "I have to. God's already called me to be a prophet. This is what he told me I have to say. I have to say it. And if you're going to kill me, then kill me." He goes on to say in verse 15 of our passage, it says, "But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears." He says, "At least let me tell you that if you are going to kill me, that you're going to kill someone who's innocent. I'm just doing what God told me to do, basically." Now, there are people that have died over the past 2,000 years for only doing the right thing. So there's no guarantee that won't happen. Understand that this evening, that literally thousands of Christians have died and been martyred for their faith. And it's still going on around the world. I mean, what happened this week was terrible, but the week before, 120 Christians were killed in Nigeria. It didn't even make a blip on the news. And that's going on all over the world. Christians are getting killed all the time for just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, primarily in Muslim countries, because it's against the law in most. Remember Brother Paul, who comes on Wednesday nights. His parents have been hassled by the police for what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that they could come. But for all of us, we need to make that decision. I'm just going to do what God called me to do, which is the right thing, which is tell people about Jesus Christ. Go to John 15. Jesus explained it this way, much better than we could. And what he's saying is, People need to hear. That's the bottom line. They need to hear the truth. What they do with it after that is up to them. Notice what he says here in John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. You see what Jesus is saying? If I hadn't come and spoken the truth, then they could claim they didn't know any better. But they can't say that anymore because I've told them the truth. I've told them the way. I've told them they're sinners. I've told them they need to repent, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through me. They don't have a cloak anymore for their sin. Now they have no excuse. And if we preach the gospel to the lost, they have no excuse. It's between them and God after that. So it looks pretty bleak for Jeremiah. Back to our passage, verse 16. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets. Look what happened. This man is not worthy to die. Wait a minute. Didn't they just say up in verse 11, this man is worthy to die? What happened? The princes and all the people said unto the priests and to the prophets, he's not worthy to die. Something happened. And that something is God. Amen? It wasn't Jeremiah's time. God interceded and changed their hearts right on the spot. And then they began to think, oh, wait a minute, this guy prophesied this against us and we killed him. And if you read the rest of the chapter, they started to recount that maybe we would be unwise to kill God's prophet. And so they didn't. And if you go to Isaiah 54:17, we'll close there this evening. But in the end, here's the bottom line. If you are in the center of God's will, then you are 100% safe. From what? From being killed if it's not His will. Now, if it is God's will for you to go home to glory, it doesn't matter where you are. God can take you in a heartbeat. You're only one heartbeat away from going to heaven. And ultimately what we're trying to say is God is sovereign and God's got our life in His hands. Praise the Lord. So leave it up to Him. And that's what Jeremiah did. He said, if you kill me, kill me. If you don't kill me, don't kill me. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And notice Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If you're in the center of God's will, and it's not your time, it doesn't matter what the threats are. Because God is more powerful than those threats. If it is your time, it doesn't take a threat. God will take you to glory when it's time. And Jeremiah understood that. He had already been warned and promised by God. The people are going to not listen. They're going to attack you at various times. Just trust me. And I'll watch over you. And God did. And you're going to see this happen multiple times later on in this book. And God just keeps protecting Jeremiah. One time he ends up in a dungeon, starving to death, and somebody pulls him out. And God just keeps protecting him. And that's how it should be for all of us. Just say the right thing, do the right thing, go forward, serve God. Might we get persecuted? Might we get threatened along the way? The possibility is there. But ultimately, who's in control? And ultimately, who is on our side? God before us, who can be against us? That includes the devil, all of his helpers, and every person on this earth. If God be for us, who can be against us? Jeremiah had that attitude. We need to have it as well. This basic saying, do with me as seemeth good. I'm trusting God. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for